You're listening to the Rev Ministries Podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
All right, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Proverbs 13, verse 22. If the PowerPoint individuals can leave the scripture up until I get to the next one, I love God's people looking at scripture. Proverbs 13, 22. Ooh, we're in New King James. Can we get out of New King James? Can we go to NIV, NLT, anything? That'd be great. Not a King James. Don't hate. I'm just not a King James guy. Proverbs 13, 22. You ready? It says, a good man leaves inheritance to his children, and the wealth of the sinner or the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. The title of this message this morning, my 27th message on righteousness, is the wealth of the righteous. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your house. Lord, I thank you. It's the only thing the gates of hell won't prevail against. And Lord, we declare that your word is the highest authority. Father, I thank you, God, for your word, and we align our minds, our hearts, our lives with your word. Lord, I thank you, your word's true and that every man's a liar. Father, we submit to it, God. Father, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what you're saying this morning. Holy Spirit, this is your place. This is your church. Do your thing. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Be made famous in this place. We commit this time to you. Have your way, King Jesus. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. And amen. Not this October, but the past October, I was in Austin, Texas, and I was on a prayer walk, and I was praying in the Spirit, and I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. I wasn't asking him to speak to me. I was just worshiping, and I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me, and he said, 2014 is the year of righteousness. And when he said that, I was excited because I've grown up in God's house. And a little bit of my story, I got saved at 3 years old. I remember at 3 years old doing it. I went to a treasure box, and after I gave my life to the Lord, they opened the treasure box and I got to pick a toy, and I picked a little paper airplane. And now that I think about it, it was slightly manipulative. It was a little Jezebelic, but anyway. So I kept serving the Lord. I got filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time at 12 years old. I remember it was in the fireside room on the third floor of our church. I got filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized in the Holy Spirit. I preached my first sermon in Indy at 14. I started preaching full-time at 16. I got ordained at 18. I'm 31 years old, and I've been doing this a long time. And so I'm very familiar with the things of God. I'm very familiar with church and terms and righteousness. In fact, a lot of people, when they described our ministry, they would describe Heather and I as young people that pursued or had a heart for righteousness. But here's the thing I learned is that you could be very familiar with something without having the revelation of it. So here's what I did is I took the month of January off, this last January, and Monday through Friday, 5 hours a week, the only thing I did was study righteousness. And what I found changed my life. I call it the revelation of righteousness. And I'm going to give you a little bit of it this morning, but it's all on those drop cards. But what I found changed everything about me. Did you know that there are over 1,000 scriptures on righteousness? 1,000. I didn't know that. You know, I knew that there was probably a lot, and the Lord said it's a year of righteousness. So I was like, what are we doing? We need to go study righteousness. Let's go look at it. And what I found rocked my world. Righteousness is everywhere. When I mean everywhere, I mean Genesis to Revelation. It's everywhere. It's the thread. It's the DNA. It's the thing that holds all of God's word together. From the breastplate of righteousness to Psalms 23, walking the path of righteousness. For the righteous walk by faith. If they shrink back, I won't delight in it. For that we're supposed to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm telling you, it is all throughout God's word. And then I started noticing that every time I saw a demonstration of God's power, it was usually located around a righteous individual. Where if you had a righteous man like Abraham who cried out for a city, Sodom, that wasn't known for inhospitality. I know Fox News and CNN News, people like to say it was destroyed by inhospitality. But the scriptures say over four different times it was a city of grotesque immorality, known for their homosexuality and their unrighteousness. and it was going to be destroyed. And God said, I'm going to destroy the city. And Abraham said, will you destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? He said, would you save the city for 50 righteous? God said, yes. He said, 40 righteous. God said, yes. Turn this down just a little bit. He said, 30 righteous. Yes. God, all the way down to 10. God said, I will spare this city for 10 righteous individuals. So if there's not a difference between 50 and 10, 40 righteous, it means this, that it wasn't about the amount of righteousness. It was simply about righteousness. And let me tell you prophetically, the only thing that's going to save America is righteousness. Or you have Noah, who the Bible says was blameless in his generation, that was righteous. And I know some Seattle bloggers like to say it was just grace and divine favor, and Noah wasn't righteous. But the problem is it says five times in four different books that Noah was righteous, so I'm going to go with the Bible. So Noah was righteous, and God used him to sustain a generation. We were going to name my son Preston Bailey. We had planned to name him that for years. And I was in a service on Pentecostal Sunday, and a prophet called me out and said, Landon, as you've been pregnant this year with righteousness, your wife's been pregnant with your son, because God's going to use him like Noah to bring righteousness to his generation. And up in my spirit came, that's his name. Everywhere from Job, who I'm going to minister on more tonight, was righteous. God said there was no one like him. You know what the crazy thing about Job was? Is that Satan didn't say his name. I feel the Holy Spirit just want to come and pick a fight with something tonight. God said his name. He said, Satan, are you tired of messing with the prayerless, tithe-less, faithless? Oh, I said tithe-less. How many thieves we got in here? Praise the Lord, everybody. That's what evangelists, we need to come in and say those things. Pastors be like, tithe if you can. I'm like, you're a thief, because that's what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. That's why I tell the young people, that's okay, it's everybody, go to Fendi. Go get the book, it'll help you. He said, are you tired of messing with them? God said, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him. He's blameless in his generation. He fears God and he shuns evil. And I don't want to preach my sermon tonight, but I love what Satan said. He said, you've put a hedge of protection around him and there's nothing I can do about it. You know why you're getting your rear kicked spiritually? It's because you're missing righteousness. Because if you lived a righteous life, there's nothing Satan can do about it. I'm telling you, it is everywhere. It is entwined. It's the substance. Then I came across a scripture that changed everything. It was Matthew 6:33. It was the first thing I preached on. Matthew 6:33. You know it. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added. But there's a problem. I read that and something stuck out to me. That I had heard that preached, prayed, Facebook posted, Instagram talked about, and every time I hear it like this. Seek first the kingdom, and everything else will be added. How many have heard it like that before? How many? You know, if you just seek the kingdom, everything else will be added. Well, there's a problem, as you can't obtain the kingdom without righteousness. So really, then people are trying to get everything else that's added. Oh, if I'm going to get everything, I guess I have to seek the kingdom. No, you missed it. But here's what I found, guys, is it wasn't just Matthew 6:33 that righteousness was removed. I started finding dozens and dozens of scriptures that you make pretty little mountain backgrounds and little waterfalls and put these little pictures together and you put it on Facebook and we're quoting it without righteousness. Can I give you a couple examples? Proverbs 24:16, though you may fall seven times, ha, the Lord will pick you back up again. Can I get an amen? Some jokers fall down and they stay down. The Lord doesn't pick everybody up. Who does he pick up? But we quote part of the scripture. Like it's scripture. Part of the scripture is a fortune cookie. Here we go. James 5:16, here's another one. The effective, fervent prayer of the who? Of the righteous availeth much. Can I just break your Christian bubble for a second? God doesn't listen to everybody's prayers. Landon, I've just been praying, and I've been praying for so long, and I've been believing for so long. Where are you living a righteous life? Because over and over in the Proverbs and the Psalms, it says his ear is away from the wicked. But let me give you another scripture. 1 Peter 3:12 says, his ears are attentive to the righteous. Can I give you just a few more to prove my point? No weapon formed against me. You know the song, right? It's not a song. It's a scripture. And we don't quote the whole thing. It says, this is theirs. Their righteousness is from me. Do you know why no weapon formed against you shall prosper? Because when you're living righteous, you're in the hedge of protection Job talks about. Can I give you another one? These are random things that we pray. Here we go. You know what we pray? Lord, just help them not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Keep praying. Keep reading. What does righteousness have in common with unrighteousness? Listen, we can do this all day, and it's on the drop card, so go listen to it. I list 75 scriptures in the intro to righteousness on just this stuff. 75 scriptures that you pray, that you talk about, that you post about, that we've removed righteousness from. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why have we removed righteousness from our vocabulary, from our prayers? I don't think it's on purpose. I don't think people are trying to do this. And I asked the Lord why. He said, because righteousness has been removed from their lives. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says this, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Watch this. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how am I going to be able to explain righteousness to your people? And he told me this. He said, it's the matter of heaven. When you describe matter, what are you talking about? Everything the universe is made up of. This speaker is matter. This microphone, my jacket, your matter, we're matter. It's everything the universe is made up of. Righteousness is what the kingdom of God is made up of. So watch, we have all these people trying to get kingdom revelation. You think we're members of a different kingdom. Not yet. Because it's a kingdom of righteousness. Who's the great king of righteousness? The king of righteousness, the king of glory. Guys, this is so rooted. This is so big. If you're taking notes, write this down. This is my definition of righteousness. It's the intentions to do, live, and be right in God's eyes. This is what righteousness is. So I got to your summer camp, and your summer camp was a real big shift for me this year. And your summer camp, I stopped teaching on righteousness, and I started allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me in righteousness. And I got done with your camp, and I told my main prayer intercessor the next morning, I said, man, there's this authority on me that I've never walked in 14 years of ministry. I've never known this authority. And the reason why is because I was not preaching an opinion. I'm preaching the DNA of heaven. And so it switches from a nice sermon to a new revelation. I'm going to teach you about the authority in righteousness tonight. It's going to wreck your world. No. It's going to wreck hell in your world. So, ministered all year. I can't even get into it. We don't have time. The Seahawks are playing. It's true. That's what the drop card's for, okay? And a couple weeks ago, I was with a rabbi friend of mine, and we were talking about righteousness. And he said, Landon, he said, you know where the main Hebrew meanings of the word righteousness is generosity? I said, no, I'm not Hebrew. I didn't know that. And then I made a prayer trip to San Francisco a couple weeks ago, and San Francisco has just been on my heart. So I flew there with no preaching engagement, nothing. I just flew there to pray. And I went to the Castro District, which is the center of the gay movement. And they have this rainbow flag that is one of the biggest flags you've ever seen in your life in the middle of the Castro District that waves over San Francisco. And I went and laid my hands on this flag. And I stood there speaking in tongues, and I declared for God's righteousness to wave a banner higher than this flag. So I'm there praying, just having a good time, declaring righteousness in an unrighteous city. Yes. And the whole time, Proverbs 13 is in my spirit. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Now, if there's any scripture on righteousness that people have misquoted, arguably there's no scripture that we've misquoted more than Proverbs 13, 22. I just declare the wealth of the wicked, the wealth of the sinner is stored up for me. No, it ain't. I don't want to burst your spiritual world that you've created that God doesn't live in. I will, ma'am, I will. The wealth of the wicked is not for the believer. Do you know demons believe? In fact, the demons were more in tune with who Jesus was than everybody else. He had to ask his disciple, my God, who do you think I am? He would meet a demon. You're the Christ. You're the Christ. We know you. You're the Christ. He's like, shh, don't tell these. Don't tell them. It's not for the believer. Who's it for? I started noticing something. Could I just be honest with you? This has been the greatest year of my life. This has been the greatest year of my life. I have never heard God more clearly. I've never preached with more authority. The doors that have opened to my life, my ministry, I've never had the peace I've had. And then I noticed one other thing. I've never made more money. And I go into churches, and I've been taking up huge offerings and giving them to the churches. Because I don't think an evangelist should go in and take the church's money. Just my opinion. I don't know. The guys on TV disagree, but it's okay. I don't even know where it comes from. Here's the craziest thing. I'm not even looking for it. I'm not paying attention. I'm not making phone calls. I'm not hustling. Get your hustle on in Jesus' name. And I'm out, all these guys call me. We're having a hard time and just really hard financial year and all this stuff. And I kept telling them conversation, man, you got to get a hold of this righteousness thing. Yes. You got to get a hold of this. Yes. So then I said, okay, Lord, show me what's going on. Yes. Show me why. Show me why I've found a new authority, a new prosperity. It's not manipulative. Okay, you don't have to conjure things up. It's just happening. Show me why. And that's what I'm gonna show you right now if you're ready for this. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. The word wealth in the Hebrew means all resources. The resources of the sinner, all resources. Of the sinner. Who's the sinner? The sinner is those that are the sin. This to sin is to miss God or be not aiming at God, or God is not on the radar. The sinner is the individual that lives for themselves. The sinner is it's not the crackheaded, it's not the murderer. You know, we take sinners and we, you know, categorize them in church. That's what we do. And then we're usually, oh, I'm not as bad as that sinner, so I'm okay. You know, this is what we do in church. But the sinner is the one who lives for themselves. They do their will. Remember when Jesus taught us how to pray? Okay, pray the will of the Father, do the will of the Father. Not my kingdom come, but your will be done. So it's those that live for themselves. God's not on the radar. They're not even aiming at God. They're aiming for themselves. So their wealth is stored up for the righteous. Now, you know, it's interesting because one translation says the wealth of the wicked. Another one says the sinner's wealth. And I just couldn't help to notice that another time that Jesus, through a parable, determined a wicked servant with money. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 25 says this. Let's start in verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on the journey. This is the story of the talents, the parable of the talents. Okay? And he called his servants and entrusted property to them. So he's telling a parable. The parable is about a master. Jesus is the master. Okay? He's giving out talents. To one he gave five, to one he gave two, to one he gave one, each according to their own ability. The one that may had five went out and gained five more. The one that gave two went out and gained two more. Let's pick it up at verse 18. But the one who had received one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and put his master's money in the ground. After a long time, the master of the servant returned to settle the accounts with them. We know the story. The guy that made five went and doubled it, got five more. The guy that he gave two doubled it and got had four. So let's pick it up in verse 24. The man who had received one talent came and said, "Master, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." Verse 26, pay attention. It says, the master replied, Jesus replied, "You wicked, lazy servant." The wicked, lazy servant. Now, if you listen to my podcast or if you've heard me preach before, you know I always say this every time I preach, that you can't just read the Bible, you have to read the Bible. And what I mean is if you're going to be a successful Christian, you've got to start reading your word. I'm not talking about Sunday up there. It's impossible to be a Christ follower and not read the text. You're going to be a parrot repeater that repeats what other people say about God but never have revelation for yourself. But once you start reading the Bible, I mean, it's not that hard. I'm talking about Psalms, Proverbs, New Testament, just every single day. Just get it in. Get the word in you. God never speaks to me. No, you don't read your word. Because if you read it, it's impossible for God not to speak to you. Because it's his word. No, the reason why your marriage is always on the rocks is because you don't have the word in you. The reason why your kids are always, and you're asking God always for miracles is because the word's not in you. This is a game changer as it is. But once you start reading the Bible, okay, then you need to start reading the Bible. And what I mean by that is start paying attention to what it says. Because I promise you, there's nothing in there that's accidental. Nothing. So the master Jesus gave these talents out. Two of them went and multiplied it, which the kingdom of God is multiplication. Jesus multiplied everything he did. And then one of them took the talent, took the money, and he buried it in the ground. Now again, let's try this. You can't just read the Bible, you have to. So I was sitting in my bed and I asked the Lord, I said, why did he bury it in the ground? Like, let's look at something that doesn't even matter. I mean, does it matter he buried in the ground? I mean, that's not the point of the story, okay? But it was so significant, the master called him a wicked, lazy servant. And I just can't help it to not connect the dots that Proverbs 13 says, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, and here's a wicked servant with some money. I said, Lord, why did he put it in the ground? And it's amazing. When you start talking to God, you'll find this out, and the saints know. God starts talking to you, and he starts asking you questions back. Are you trying to interview the Lord? He starts just interviewing you back. It's like 9 times out of 10, I ask the Lord a question, he asks me a question. It's like, where are you, Elijah? Like God doesn't know where he is. When God asks you a question, he's trying to get your mind somewhere else. He said, what's the ground? I said, well, it's dirt. It's the earth. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, the world. The wicked servant invested his resources in the world. And nothing multiplied investing in the world. We're supposed to be in it, not of it. We're supposed to love them, but not love it. Watch. He gave his everything. He gave his resource. He gave his means to the world. And the master said, you are a wicked, lazy servant. While the other two invested into being faithful in what the master called them to do.
Are you following me?
So the wicked, lazy servant buried it, and then what happened to it? I love God's word. The talent, the money, the wealth of the wicked servant was taken from him. And who was it given to? Hold on, you're getting ahead of me. Come on, let me preach, right? Slow down, theologians. It was given to the servant who gained 10. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, Landon, people bury more than one talent. See, you are so concerned with the little that you have. I'm just a one talent. I didn't have a rich parents. I didn't come from affluency. I didn't come with that. I didn't have no help. I didn't have people that, so, and these other people, watch. See how this? But hold on. What if you just multiplied your one? Hold on. And then what if someone buried 10? No, can we step this up a second? What if they buried 100,000? What if they put a million? What if Starbucks is putting billions into the world? As you can't tithe, but you can buy 4 drinks a day. It's okay. It's cool. It's good. No, that's right. It's right. The pastor's here. They all fix that later. It's okay. Whoa. Billions into the world. Listen. I'm going to say this very, very kindly, okay, and soft. Partial truth is deception. So God wants to bless us, yes. But there's also tremendous amount of biblical scriptures that show us that there's lessons in life and spirituality to learn from hard times as well. Yes. Every time I hear Proverbs 13:22 mentioned, everybody always mentions this wealth transfer. And it's like the cool, trendy, sermon-esque thing. There's going to be a wealth transfer and there's going to be... And I don't mean offend anybody or teachings or books or pastors you like or guys on TV and, you know, I don't mean to do that. But I don't think there is a wealth transfer. Well, the Egyptians had money and then it got to the Israelites. No, because all that got taken from them anyway. So not really. Right? They lost it all, right? When it's bonded in slavery and just got their country back recently, right? So I don't see that. Watch. I see the wealth always being in locations. Come with me. Listen. The wealth isn't switching places. People are entering into righteousness. Watch where it always is intended for. Let me show you. Okay. It's released to faithful servants. Okay. Now I love this because this is my 27th message and we're coming full circle because I started out in Matthew 6:33, which is the scripture that started everything for me. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else will be added. And I started asking the Lord, what are you trying to show me by seeking first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added? And I began to seek the Lord. And I began to ask him. And here's what I asked. I said, Lord, how do you get it eventually? How does it happen? You know what the Lord told me? You ready for this? Yes. It's so simple, but so profound. He said, you don't ask for it. Now, when the Lord starts telling me stuff like this, I'm like, whoa, where's that in the Word? And then I went and looked. Guess what? It's not in the Word. No. asking God for money is not in the word. Wow. Guys, not one. There's not one scripture. People are like, because it says if we ask for anything, yeah, anything. But then it goes on to say, ask God for the greater gifts. So you're hanging out down here, but God's thoughts are higher than you, and he's trying to get you to ask for higher things. Wait. There's no scripture to ask for money. In fact, there's dozens that warn about the love of it, right? But then you can't ignore that righteous men and women were blessed. Abraham was blessed. Jacob's blessed. Isaac's blessed. David's blessed. Solomon's blessed. So, hold on. You ready for this? So all these righteous. You don't enter into wealth. You seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Watch. And everything you need is in the kingdom. Can I show you a scripture that contradicts asking? Go to 2 Chronicles. Go to that 2 Chronicles scripture. Put it up. What does it say? Hoping not to walk up there. Do I have to walk up there? I'll walk up there. No big deal. 2 Chronicles 1:10. God speaks to Solomon. It says, ask for anything. Now, this is an opportunity to ask for money, right? Yeah. What did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. He asked for wisdom to lead. Watch. So he is able to govern your great people of your kingdom. Watch. The root word for righteousness is always the word justice. Other translation, throwback to King James, the other translation says to bring justice or to judge your people correctly. So watch, God says to Solomon, ask for anything. He asks for righteous judgment. The ability to judge righteously. And God says what? Go to the next verse. Because you didn't ask for money, what am I going to give you? Oh, maybe if you would stop asking for it, it can finally be released when you get to the destination that you're supposed to. Watch. Because above all else, I wish for you to prosper as you get into righteousness. No, it's a game changer, because what are you going to pray about when you stop asking for money? What are you gonna start fasting for in 2015 when stuff doesn't matter anymore? No, when you don't care about everything being added, the only thing you sought, the only thing you care about. I'm telling you, my phone hasn't stopped ringing. Can you come to Africa? Can you go to Australia? Can you come here? Can you teach at our university? Can you teach at our college? Hey, we just wanted to bless you. Hey, can you come do this? Hey, can you do that? The only thing I'm doing is preaching righteousness. Listen. My DNA has changed. No. My DNA has changed. You know what it's called? It's called a new creation. But some people don't become the new creation, the righteousness of Christ. Oh, don't you understand? Righteousness is a DNA change. There was a blind man who couldn't see. Jesus spit in the ground. Put it. You can't read the Bible. You have to read it. What is spit? Watch. It's DNA. Where your DNA is broken, I'm going to give you heaven's DNA. I'm telling you, listen, this is a mindset. This is an understanding. This is a place spiritually that you got to get to. Listen, the only thing you have to be concerned about. This is why the scripture says, don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about living righteous today. If God takes care of the birds, how much more is he going to take care of you? The Bible says the righteous will not beg for bread. I'm telling you, provision is in righteousness. I'm going to end with two scriptures and we're done. Tonight's going to be sweet. The game starts in 4 minutes. I believe the Lord loves the Seahawks. I believe Russell Wilson is doing his best to live a righteous life, and I'm just going to believe by faith. Marshawn Lynch, not the same. But the team can be saved for one righteous man. Two scriptures to close. Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord bestows his favor and honor. Watch. No good thing does he withhold for those who walk as blameless. If you study righteousness for a year like I have, you'll notice you'll always see the word blameless next to righteous men and women. Noah was blameless in his generation. Job was blameless. You'll always see it. Last scripture. You ready for this? Philippians 4:19. You know it. Go ahead and start quoting it. And my God, will supply or meet all of your needs, my needs, according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. If you did not know, Jesus is the King of righteousness. If you didn't know, no one's righteous, not even one. And he gives us his righteousness through faith for our unrighteousness. Keep that scripture up. Now watch this. My God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in righteousness. He's the King of righteousness.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full length sermons and episodes on audio or video, please visit us at therev.com or search for us on iTunes.